Hey everyone, I'm Adrian Wojnarowski, host of the Vertical Podcast with Woj. My guest today, the new general manager of the Los Angeles Lakers, Rob Pelinka. I talk with Rob about his transition from the agent business to working alongside Laker great Magic Johnson with the Lakers, their view of the franchise's future, how they want to build out their front office, how aggressive they'll be in free agent recruiting, and their vision of transforming this Laker organization back into contention. All that here in my visit with new Lakers GM, Rob Pelinka. Here with Rob Pelinka, the new general manager of the Lakers at the team's practice facility. Rob, how are you, man?
Doing great, Woj. Thanks for stopping by, man. Good to see you around here.
Well, thanks for having me. We're in your office here overlooking the practice court. Now, I know you've spent a few days of your life in the gym down there on the practice court, maybe not as many from watching it on the perch outside with Magic Johnson like you guys were doing today.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. It felt so normal to be here on the first day of the job just because having represented a lot of Lakers over the years, obviously Kobe and Dee Fish and Trevor Ariza and Sasha Vujicic, and having worked so closely with Jeannie, Buss, the owner, and really the entire support staff here, it felt like old stomping grounds and a place that I had a great familiarity with for sure.
As you said, Rob, you've spent a lot of time here and you saw most of Kobe's career through here with the Lakers and some of the other guys you mentioned. But just as I was walking in today and you walk down the hallways here and you see the trophies and you see Will Chamberlain holding the ball over his head and Kareem's skyhook and you're sitting out there with Magic, maybe outside of Boston, and maybe in terms of stars, maybe not even Boston, just the enormity of this place and walking in here every day and sort of knowing what the standard is. People don't talk about making the playoffs. It's not about conference finals. I don't know that I've ever seen a division banner hang anywhere or even a conference banner. There's championship banners. Does it hit you as you're walking in here each day?
It does. I think when I walk in the morning, the first word that comes to mind for me is just responsibility. Like the greatness and excellence here, the legacy here, the players that have walked these hallowed halls, when you enter, you say, I have a responsibility today to live up to that standard of excellence. And I think, you know, that's the thing that Irvin Johnson and I keep talking about every day is we have really a blank canvas for the future to make sure that feeling of excellence is really pervades throughout the organization. First and foremost with our fans, we want to be open and committed to them and just how loyal they've been over the years. With our players, you know, we want to make sure that there is a platform of excellence for them to be the best version of themselves. And we know we have a lot of work to make sure that happens. And with our relationships with the media and other agents, we really want to hit the mark of excellence that when you walk into this building, you realize it's always been here and for the future it has to be as well.
You didn't just start thinking about being a general manager in the NBA when Jeannie and Magic reached out to you. I know you thought about it before and how you might do things, but since you've gotten in here and you start to take on all the different parts of the job and maybe some that you didn't anticipate would be such big parts of your time, how have you started to measure out what are my most important or our most important 1, 2, 3 priorities? Like, because you could just sit here on Sundays and go, I've got so much to do. Where do I begin?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question, Roge. I feel like this is the sweet spot for kind of who I am with my background, having gone to law school, having worked as an agent for almost 20 years and understanding the cap and how the system works, how modern day players think. I went to business school and got a business degree, and then basketball, of course, you know, having played in 3 Final Fours. Those are my passions in life, and they all kind of converge in this job. And I think more than anything, Dr. Buss is our North Star, and he revolutionized the entire landscape of professional sports when he converged entertainment and sports together and kind of broke the mold. We're still living with a lot of his vision today and across all sports leagues. And I think we feel the same. We feel like we have a platform that is second to none, and with this Lakers platform. And we see an opportunity to cast a new vision for the future. The Lakers were always a team, you know, going back in history where all the other 29 teams were saying, hey, how can we do it like the Lakers do? And maybe we've lost that a little bit. And I think it's time to think that way again and hopefully get back to a position where others are saying, gosh, look at how the Lakers are doing things. We'd love it if we could do it that way. And that's a challenge. I mean, and it starts with Magic and I, you know, casting that vision and seeing it through. You know, in terms of your specific question, one of the things that Dr. Buss always said, and I know Jeannie is aligned to this, is, you know, the Lakers are the Lakers when there's a star in the building. You know, if you've the greats are so easily listed, Magic, Shaq, Kobe, Jerry West, Wilt, you know, I could go on and on down the list. And we feel like this is a perfect platform for hopefully that next player eventually to say, there's no city like LA. There's no team that has the legacy like the Lakers. This could be my home someday, the perfect platform to accomplish what I want to in my career. And I think that's an important thing that we'll want to make sure happens.
You've watched this closely and you've been around as much as anybody here, and you've seen big free agents not only pass on the Lakers in recent years, big free agents not even take meetings with the Lakers. How did it get to that in your estimation?
You know, it's interesting. I'll answer that, but I do think most of our time has been spent instead of really looking back into, hey, what happened and judging that, more to being accountable for the future and making sure it doesn't happen again. It's been the first two or three weeks have been so encouraging because both Magic and I have talked to most of the top agents, and the feedback we're getting is, man, there feels like, you know, a fresh start there. It seems like a new leadership team with a new vision, and people are excited about, you know, hopefully becoming a part of that. And so I think we want to, at the end of the day, we know how important it is to have strong relationships with the agents that represent these players, and we want to build really strong bridges. I think having done that for almost 20 years, the word I keep coming back to when I'm on the phone with some of the player representatives is the word empathy. I've walked in their shoes. I know what it's like. I know what their clients are looking for in a team to partner with. And that's helpful for us to meet those needs. And so far, we're very optimistic that those relationships are being strengthened and that we're going to have a shot to change what's happened in the last two or three seasons with future free agent classes.
And you know this, Rob, that guys want to win. And we've seen, whether it's the Knicks and that platform and the Lakers, if players don't see infrastructure, if they don't see the talent around them there, that there have to be things in place, that in this day and age in the league, you can't just say, hey, we're LA, you're going to come here, right? Agents are sophisticated. Players are sophisticated. They know they're comparing front offices. They're comparing who's got cap space, who's got draft picks, who drafts well, who's got guys that they can win with. That do all those things have to get in line before you can be a player with the big, big free agents? Or is it still enough to say, we're the Lakers, you should want to play here?
All of those things you listed have to be accomplished, and not just accomplished, but with excellence. So we have to have first players. In working with the top players in the game on the representation side, I feel like the best players in the world, they want to be coached. They want to be held accountable. We want to have a world-class accountability system here where guys have the roadmap to improve, you know, throughout their career. We want to have and continue to develop our young players that we've got a good core, but we know we've got to continue to have them improve. You know, Magic and I want to manage the cap in the right way so we have the flexibility to pay the type of players that fit our DNA, that fit with the rest of the pieces that we have. We feel like Luke is an amazing player coach. You know, I get such good feedback from him, from other, you know, from our players and casually from other players around the league. Like, hey, he's the right guy for the future. Guys want to play with him. So we feel like we're building and putting in place all of those things that are going to be really important to a future free agent. And then, you know, this year we hope to have a top pick. And, you know, you can find stars through the draft too. And we know that that's going to be another area that we're going to hit that mark of excellence in. So there's a lot going. You know, the other day someone shared a statistic with me which put it in perspective. Woj, they said, and I've been fortunate to travel all over the globe with Kobe, you know, and to see how his brand and the Lakers brand resonates everywhere in the world. And someone, this analytic was compelling. It was more Lakers jerseys have been sold in the world than all other 29 teams combined. And listen, if I'm a player and I'm thinking about my future, and I'm thinking about the megawatt power of the Lakers brand, all the powder keg of relationships that you can form in LA with entertainment moguls, the legacy of excellence and championships here that the Buss family is going to continue to provide, Magic Johnson's vision, you know, hopefully some of my expertise and trades and managing the cap, all of those things combined. I think if I'm an NBA player out there and I'm seeing all that, I think, wow, that's a package that I could put my trust in. That's a future that looks really, really promising. We've got to do the work. We've got to continue to create that platform, but we feel strong that we're already doing that and that it's headed in the direction it needs to be.
Rob, you know, you mentioned the expertise you've gained along the way, and I think people may not understand that being an agent and the guys who are high profile agents like you and, you know, maybe seven or eight, whatever the number is of agents who probably represent 75% of the players, are very often involved, and you and I have talked in the past when you've had different clients, of engineering trades and trying to be creative working with front offices where the actual act of putting together a deal, I think people might think sometimes, well, agents just put together free agent deals and negotiate that, might have some say in a trade about whether their player wants to be there, and that player's got this team's got to decide if they want to trade. But, you know, I remember one instance, the Andre Iguodala sign and trade with Denver, Golden State, and some others, that the idea of putting deals together is, it's not new for you.
No, listen, I'll use an analogy. You know, the preparation that the great players put into the game. So, you know, Kobe didn't just show up to the arena and score 60 points on his last game. I mean, the amount of preparation that goes into those moments is staggering. And I feel the same with franchise moves, whether it's a trade or a draft pick or different ways to change the complexion of your roster. A staggering amount of thinking, of strategizing, of debating ideas goes on. And, you know, I'm a believer in this theory that, you know, sometimes you want to think through 100 different ideas, and maybe only one of them happens, but if you don't think through them, zero, there's going to be inertia. So we are constantly meeting already, Magic, Luke, myself, Jeannie, and we are discussing a variety of different ideas and putting chess pieces in place and trying to make moves around the board. Knowing not every vision is going to come to fruition, but you've got to start putting things in motion, and that's really kind of our model.
I always got the idea, Rob, that agents sometimes get a better view into all 30 organizations than the 30 get into each other, because you're dealing, you've got players everywhere, or at any one point you've dealt with almost every front office. You see how coaching staffs work with front offices, how they work with players, and then the feedback you get from players about how things are run at different places and your interaction with their executives, that I'm not sure every front office gets behind the curtain of other places the way you do in the agent business. Have you thought about that, and where you sort of say, I want to take a little bit from this organization did this and that, something that stayed with me? Is that part of your mindset walking in here?
No question. I mean, we had a periscope, you know, into 30 teams and kind of how they operated. And I think if there was, and of course, we're going to take bits and pieces of different positive things that I experienced along the way and incorporate them. And then we're going to also try to do things that the other 29 teams aren't doing at all, like kind of break the mold and try to think in a new way. But I think if there was one thing that we want to hang our hat on is really communication. I found as in the former life as someone who represented players that the front offices and the coaches that were committed to collaborative, quick, and transparent communication with players and agents were the ones that you wanted to form partnerships with. And hopefully we will be judged on that. And I think I've had great conversations with some of the preeminent agents, with some of our players, and they have said already they feel like the communication flow has been entirely different than what they've experienced before. And that's something I'm going to take personal responsibility for. And hopefully, you know, you're judged more on your actions than on your words. And I can talk about this, but that's something that's really, really important for us is great, quick, transparent, and genuine communication with everyone we interface with.
Rob, a lot of the agents now you're picking up the phone to call and to start building relationships, and you'll be on the phone with them pre-draft, getting guys in for workouts, interviews, have been guys you competed pretty fiercely with. The agent business, as competitive as the league is, the agent business might even be more cutthroat competitive at times. And you've had guys probably leave you for some of those agents. Some of those agents have had clients leave for you. What's it been like picking up the phone and saying, hey, place guys where there may have been some animosity, there may have been or a sense of we just don't know each other. How did you approach that, and is that something that you've got to be conscious of?
Great question. You know, I was having this discussion with one of the top agents the other day. I said for NBA basketball players, you can take the great rivalries of, you know, sort of Bird, Magic, and of course that when they're going at each other's throat, there's a level of you know, hatred in the moment of a game, right? You want to destroy the opponent. But then those guys, they get the benefit of every 4 years going to USA Basketball and saying, okay, now we're together. We have a common cause. Let's have fun. And they get to know each other that way. And I think, you know, in the agent community, there's no every 4 years of playing together and doing USA Basketball. It's just that constant competition.
Actually, there's one thing about every 7 years, the CBA negotiations and lockout where you guys do have to I've heard some great stories from some of those meetings because all of a sudden you guys have to have a common interest even though most of the guys in the room can't stand
each other. For sure. And I think that's helpful. But I guess the point of my metaphor is that there's been, you know, battles recruiting over players, but now we're partners. So this is now the USA Basketball approach where we're trying to do. So if you're an agent and you have a client, I think a lot of clients are very attracted to the Lakers legacy and what is going on here. We have to build a positive bridge and work together. I think, every player's career, I think, is going to be most impacted on the basketball court, probably by the team's coach, the team's front office, and then their representative. And when those three corners of the triangle are functioning with harmony, then the player who's at the middle of that is going to reap the rewards of that. And I found over my years of representing players, when that was functioning well, the results were awesome. And we recognize that. So I've told players and I've told agents, if there's ever an issue, we want all prongs of that triangle to be on the same page and to discuss it and make sure that it has a good landing spot. And if that means coming up to the office and meeting with us up here, meeting with Coach Walton, we want that to be an open, honest, transparent relationship functioning well.
Rob, when you look at how you want to build out an organization, you look at Oklahoma City has done a great job in the draft and player development, and San Antonio has done it over a very long time, smaller markets. Are there things unique to LA that you just say, hey, we can short circuit some of the things that smaller markets have to do who may not be free agent destinations? Or are the fundamentals of building an organization common to all of them? Or is LA so special you don't have to adhere to a lot of things that smaller markets maybe do over a long period of time?
Well, listen, I mean, what you can't do is you can't say, oh, because we're LA and because we're the Lakers, we can rest on those laurels. To me, that would be the huge mistake. I think we have to say, because we're LA and because we're the Lakers, we have even more of a responsibility for greatness because it's such a unique place and the legacy of championships is so strong. But in terms of the sustainability of some of the other teams you've mentioned, of course, they've done great. I think every franchise, all 30 of them, you got to look through at a unique lens for the characteristics that that individual organization has. But, you know, again, we feel with ours, we're so blessed and we're very grateful for the unique advantages of playing here. It's, you know, there is no team that has the global reach that the Los Angeles Lakers has. That's just a fact. That's a gift that we get to have. There is no, you know, city that has the relationships that exist here in entertainment and other areas. And so are those a competitive advantage? I guess you can call it whatever you want, but I think our job is to say, okay, those tools exist. How do we amplify them? And how do we make them intersect with a player's career so that everyone's reaping the benefits that are deserved?
Rob, when you went to the University of Michigan, got a scholarship, went into play, and the Fab Five came in behind you, what did that period of time teach you? What do you think you learned about, I don't know if any player had ever been around such star quality, such, it was a showtime of sorts in college basketball. How did that color how you viewed the game, or not necessarily team building, but having something that's very much in the spotlight and, you know, it was a transcendent group in time. How did that influence you going forward when you look back at that period of time in your career?
Well, I'll answer the question. I'll tell you a story. So, you know, the Fab Five experience was such a gift because that was a cultural shift. It was really the first time there was a convergence of sort of the uprising of the hip hop culture and sort of the trend set by the Fab Five with the bald heads and the black socks and the baggy shorts and just the swagger of five freshmen. It defined basketball in a cultural sense. And so I got to live that. And I feel like that has really been an anchor point for me and relating to players in the game and especially our current era of players and how they think and what is important to them. So that was an amazing moment in time and clearly has shaped everything and how I view things and the lens I look at them through. You know, a great story about that era. We, Woj, were down in New Orleans getting ready to play in the 93 Final Four. And this, it being March, this is always the time of year where I get so nostalgic about, you know, I told my son the other day, just the chance to go to the tournament once is something that no one, but to go to the tournament three times and to play in three championship games in March Madness and to win one is like, wow. I mean, this time of year, I get so excited. But we were down there, 93, it was the Fab Five. We were getting ready to play Carolina. And my mom and dad raised me to be really focused in academics. And so I had like a really high GPA and at the University of Michigan. And then our team was rolling. And so the NCAA gave me an award right before the Final Four. They named me the Male Athlete of the Year in the NCAA Scholar Athlete of the Year. And said, hey, we'll pay for you to go to law school and business school. It was the Walter Byers Award. But that announcement was made right before the Final Four. And we were walking off the court after shoot around. Mm-hmm. To get ready to play the game that night. And the Fab Five was about to go up the tunnel and I was lagging behind. And I heard someone yell my name twice. And I was thinking, well, the Fab Five get all the attention. I'm just kind of here in the background. And I turn around. It was Dean Smith, the legendary coach of the North Carolina Tar Heels, who coached Michael Jordan. And you could go on and on. One of the greats of all time. And he came up and he tapped my shoulder. I turned around. He put his hands on my shoulders and he looked me in the eye and he said, son, he said, you know, this is a great moment for sports, the Final Four, the Superdome. But he said, I heard about your award, and he said, what you stand for in this moment and what your career embodies is what the NCAA is all about. Someone who is approached excellence on the court and excellence in the classroom, and I just want to congratulate you for all you've done. And I literally will never forget that moment. It was kind of like a call to action. And, you know, of course, we went on to play the game. That was the famous timeout game when C-Webb called the timeout and Carolina got the trophy. But, you know, the Fab Five experiences were life-defining and have really shaped so much of who I am.
Are you amazed still, even like people in your professional life, you're known most for representing Kobe Bryant. People have seen you with him, and like it's not uncommon that there's pictures or on television. But do most people still know you from the Fab Five? Do you still get that as much as anything else?
Oh, that's funny.
Before becoming GM of the Lakers.
Well, the joke is I get more, man, you look like this guy Rob Lowe's and all these commercials. Maybe it's because we're in L.A., but that's been a funny funny Twitter thing that's been going on. But I think, there's, you know, there was the Fab Five documentary that a lot of people watched. And so I get a lot of questions about that. And, of course, the experiences with Kobe. But what's been exciting at the games is I think that, the fans are really excited about the new leadership in the future. So I've told fans there, we want to have a front office that engages and listens to the fans. And so people have been coming up at the games and giving us ideas or thoughts. And, you know, I think at the end of the day that this is not just a position of leadership. It's a position of service. And it's serving our players so they can be excellent. It's serving the fans so that we make sure that we're living up to the expectations they have because they're so great with their support. And it's just serving the franchise to make sure we hit that mark of excellence. And that's the part of it I've enjoyed, getting feedback. We're going to have exit meetings soon, you know, at the end of the year with the players. And I've told them all, we want to solicit advice from you guys. I want each of you to think of three ways we can make things here better. And I think that's how you grow. That's how you learn. We've got to work just as hard as they do on the court, and that's what we'll do.
Great stuff, Rob. I appreciate it, man.
Woj, thanks for coming out, man. Always great to spend time with you. You're the best.
Thanks, man. Thanks for listening to this episode of the Vertical Podcast with Woj. A big thank you to my guest today, Lakers General Manager Rob Pelinka. Remember, you can subscribe and listen to new and archived episodes of this podcast and the Vertical Podcast with Chris Mannix wherever you get your podcasts. You can find us on thevertical.com, iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Spotify, Google Play, and you can hear the Vertical Podcast Network every weekday at 3 p.m. Eastern on Sirius XM Satellite Radio, on Sirius Channel 214, XM Channel 203, and on the Sirius XM app on Channel 967. We'll catch you next time.